Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your favorite food podcast host. Yes, that's right. I said it. Carl Fiadini. We're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. Yes. On the menu today, and thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's program. I thought the sloppy chuck was going to be my baby, you know, going forward. I really did. That was my number one, but here it is again. It's changing. It's constantly changing. Enter in the KFP. That is the Korean fried pork. Man, it was nasty. Nasty. What is this? Gochujang sauce? Oh, my God. It's over the... It's over the top. Oh, my God. All right. Guest today. A dear friend of mine. He's had some adversity as of late. He's battled his way back. He's a restaurateur. He's a cook. He's a dishwasher. A confidant to many. He's been on Iron Chef America, the next Iron Chef, and many other network shows. God has played a role in this man's life in a good way, in a great way. That is Chef Roberto Treveño. He's up next. But first. Oh, yeah. It's Chef Jeffrey. It's Chef Jeffrey Jefferson Starship. Why don't you get into pre-shift and explain what the hell you did today? I can't eat anymore. There's food there. There's deliciousness, right? I'm looking. I can see it from here. Well, yeah, it's basically see it from here. Bro, I can't eat anymore. I'm done.
Wow, that's a first.
I'm done. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, jump in, baby. What do you got?
So we get a pork loin today. We did two styles. Really nice thick cut. We did one that was stuffed with Italian influences. It had Meyer lemon, burrata, at Colpa. It had Carabuto prosciutto de Parma, or done on the style of prosciutto de Parma. And then we stuffed that in the center, made a little pocket, and then seared that with a little potato starch to give it some extra crunchy crunch. And then we did that with some accoutrements of smashed little potatoes, like the purple bee, the purple, the bees, and the Yukon Golds. And then I did a little broccolettes and then roasted those off. And then the sandwich you were talking about, the KFP, we did a rendition of the KFC, Korean fried chicken. That gochujang sauce, it's a mixture. It's black pepper with a little bit of olive oil infused with the gochujang, which is the powder form. And then you take garlic and then you add that and make an emulsification with that oil mixture that you infuse with the black pepper and the gochujang. You infuse that with gochujang. That sauce is probably the dirtiest sauce I've ever made. And I don't mean like dirty, like sexy, dirty, pornographic, dirty. I mean, like, it's literally dirty. It's so bright, vibrant red. It stains everything, but it's so flavorful.
Staining my belly. Yeah. But before you get further into that, because I want you to keep going with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the broccoli, the potatoes, everything that, all these side accoutrements, mm-hmm. if you will, when you dip it in that sauce, that gochujang sauce, oh man, like we need to do wings with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so, I mean, it's amazing.
Thank you.
It's amazing. And I, you know, listen, I seem to say that a lot. And I hope everybody, when they're listening to this, they're not like, this guy, Carl, dude, everything is like better than the next. And it's really like that. Anyway, so forgive me for the interruption.
So I wanted to also balance this. So we did some pickled onion, and the pickled onion, I did it kind of like in the Wickles way. I wanted a little bit of spice to it, but I also wanted some acid and to cut it because there's so much between the fat of the pork and the breading and, you know, frying it, quote unquote, because we pan seared it. And then I brought in some coleslaw instead of doing mayonnaise because Silent John doesn't like mayonnaise. So I did it with just honey and lime juice. And let that sit there for the entire time when we were getting prepped and ready. So by the time we hit it and did the sandwich when you got here, I mean, that was just, it was beautiful, the contrast. And then the brioche, you know, toasting it in the cast iron, bringing that butter flavor out. So everything kind of, the way the layers flowed together was just gorgeous. And then we had one of my favorites. Good Lord. I can't believe it's taken me this long to get this into this studio. The Compart de Rock. 14-day dry-aged pork chop. End of story. When you say 14-day dry-aged pork, people are like, what? That thing is amazing. And we did one style. We did, again, paying homage to Keith Saracen and have tutoring me and teaching me about the Indian subcontinent and cuisine. It's called achar, which is their type of pickle. Achari is when you take it and then you rub or glaze something, and that's exactly what we did. We used white lemon and garlic. And then we then did, that was me. We have the Stokes purple sweet potato that I pureed up. And then we did that with the green bean honey almondine.
Wow.
Instead of just green beans almondine. I never thought that was going to be that good. I was like, wow. Because, you know, when you chop up the almonds and infuse it into the oil, the beans actually tasted like almonds, which was really great. And then we paid homage to French cuisine because, you know, most of us that went to culinary school were French trained. So croque monsieur, which is bechamel, ham, Swiss. I got rid of the bechamel. I wanted to add something different. I wanted to put my own spin on it. I made, John's a little bit hungover from the cherries he tried earlier. I did drunken fermented cherries with bourbon. And we put that on there with some jalapenos that I pickled as well. And then we did the pork and just seared that and then sliced that and put it with Gruyere cheese and then put it on a garlic sourdough. That was just, yeah.
So
I don't think you tried that.
No. Do you know how?
Well, you got to wait. One more. There's that one more. Yeah, you guys tasted today.
No, wait. Hold on. There's a beautiful, gorgeous open face sandwich sitting right there, like 3 yards from me.
Yeah, that's John's dinner.
I guess so. I gotta take half of that home. I'm sorry.
No. You had a full sandwich almost.
No, I didn't.
You had chocolate cake.
I had a lot of stuff, but a chocolate cake is the sandwich. Okay, let's be real here.
Well, you definitely have to describe the chocolate cake though. The flourless chocolate cake, noble citrus,
yes,
tangerines, infused with Grand Marnier, smoked sea salt, chipotle, spice. So it had different layers. And then Silent John over there decided to do a little marshmallow that he kind of took a torch to, and he was in hog heaven at that point. Yeah. I think that was his favorite.
That's true.
As his eyes just bounced up and over, his eyebrows just jumped up and down.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even hop up to go and get on that train.
No, either. You didn't. I think you were full.
I'm telling you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is something happened here.
We need to either call 911 or Guinness because he stopped eating.
Psychologist. I need to do a brain study. See what's going on here. All right. So what was the last dish?
The croque monsieur was, well, technically the chocolate flourless cake was okay,
that's
the last dish. Right,
that's what you were. Oh, yeah. Okay. John, don't just look. I mean, say hello. Say hi to everybody. I mean,
he's going to turn his.
Hello.
Oh, well, there he is.
Wow. It's been how many episodes before we actually heard him?
Wow. That's great.
I like it that way.
How about but dude, that sandwich? Like, you were a little skeptical. I know you were skeptical.
Freaking amazing.
Right? You were skeptical because it was on the heat. Mm-hmm. Right?
But not overpowering.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah. It was a back heat.
Yeah, and that's you can actually change the heat level by, you know, taking out the black pepper. You don't have to use as much.
It had a buffalo flavor, but not.
Yeah, it had
an Asian influence, but kind of buffalo.
Yeah, and that's the key to it. It's kind of infusing. Like, when you heat the oil, you're speeding up the process. Like, you know, when you go to Publix and say, like, you know, rosemary infused oil, they let that sit or they do other things to it. When you heat the oil, you're infusing oil.
100%. We got to try that with some wings.
I think I know a place that we could get wings from.
By the way, I mean,
we haven't shot chicken wings, by the way.
No, we really haven't. And again, hey, Peninsula, really, that Duroc, stupid. Like, wow.
And you know what's funny? As soon as we walked in, I know one of the guys that works for Compart Duroc. What I love about Compart Duroc for a chef, for us, is that it's vertical farming. What I mean by that, or upcycling is another word we're using, they actually raise the animals, they raise the feed for the animals, they harvest the animals there. They don't go out to, like, you know, some of these big conglomerates where they have several different contractors out there in farms that are doing things, because that's not the way to farm. They're farming things. And here's the thing about them. When you look at a commodity and they're doing an ultrasound and looking at the marbling, because they don't have a grading system for pork. So when they're looking at that, grading for commodity pork, which is what you get in any supermarket, you're looking at maybe a 2 to 3. When you get to Compact Duroc, and this is a couple of years ago, they were grading at 5 to 6. They had a sow at the point that graded an 8. That's like on the level of Wagyu or Kobe beef. So for them, they've got it down to a system where they're feeding these animals some really great product, because they're growing that product for the animals. So their end result is getting a great product. There's more competition out there for the barbecue competition people that are winning because they're using Compart Duroc. And we're not getting paid for that, by the way. That's just my personal feeling, because that is just delicious. I can eat that pork chop once a week.
And you get that. It's 14 days. You get a little bit of that nice aged on it.
Nuttiness.
Yeah.
Not as nuttiness as you would get on. And it's funny, because some of the pork farmers down here, I mentioned about the 14 dry aged from Compart, and they're like, you can dry age pork. Hello, you can dry age tuna. You know, with the right way of doing things, you can dry age pretty much anything, because that's what we used to do when we didn't have refrigeration.
Yeah.
So, true story.
Yeah, and smoked and dry aged and aged, whatever.
Yeah, speaking about smoke, how was that brisket there, buddy?
Best brisket I ever made. It was so good.
Look at that smile.
Did you see the pictures?
I saw the pictures. He said, do not leave without getting some brisket.
Oh
yeah. Oh, my God. do not let me leave without the brisket.
It was so good.
I know. When you showed the video, when you were squeezing it and the juices were just, get out of here.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tillman on that one.
Yeah.
He gave me the tips.
Wait, how long has he been competing, Tillman? That's another person we need to get on.
He's coming on in January.
Good. He definitely needs to, because Carl's just going to shut up in the corner and I'll talk with Tillman.
I'm just going to listen. Actually, he should come here and bring
brisket.
Bring food. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm, you know what? That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't have to cook that day.
You know,
it's a long drive.
Yeah, it is.
It's okay.
Hey, listen, Amy Yee did it.
If Amy can do it.
He's got a built-in hotel, right? Doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. That's expensive.
Yeah, what? I know. It's the gas.
Built-in. Oh, like a food truck or something?
No.
He's got a bus.
What?
He's got that. Oh, the, you weren't the there.
I didn't see it.
He's never. He's never seen him compete.
No, he hasn't. No.
Oh yeah, he's got like a.
So I'm gonna film him in at the Lakeland Pig Fest.
When's Pig Fest?
And
I gotta put it down on my calendar.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
What was the one when you just went to?
Pig Jam.
There's too many pigs.
That was Plant City.
It's too many Pig Jam, and then, Pig Fest.
When he is on the show, he's going to be in St. Augustine. I forget what that one's called.
Pig something?
It's not, actually. I forget what it's called.
We need to get JP on the phone, too. That's another one that would be good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, speaking of get on the phone. All right, so let's actually get Chef Roberto Trevino on the line. Chef, how are you, man?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Oh man, I am awesome. I cannot complain. And just listening about to those sandwiches, man, I am starving. You know, the dry-aged pork, the go-go dancer, all that business is all me. I love it.
That's a great name for the sandwich. Go-go the dancer. Go-go Thank dancer. You, chef.
Yeah. Forget the go-go, Jen. Yeah, go-go dancer. That works. I love it. All right. So listen, man, you have a chef. You have a very unique history, a very unique life. Am I right?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's a cook's life for sure. You know, I'd have to say it's definitely a cook's life. And as every cook out there, and I know you have a lot of fans that listen that are in the biz, they know that, you know, the culinary life is a rough life. You know, you can either hit the bottle hard or hit the hours hard, and you hit life hard, you play hard, you work hard. I did it all, you know, and yeah, it had, you had to pay the price at one point in my life, you know, and it came in and I had to pay the piper.
So, and I kind of, you know, we talked about it off air and we've talked about it actually for a while now. I really want the audience to kind of understand, like you're a restaurateur at heart. In fact, you know, we'll get into it, but you have some good things coming up here soon on that front.
Oh yes.
But you had some challenges, over this last year and
I think it's a culinary life, you know. I mean, I started at a very young age in the kitchen, and I fell in absolute love with the kitchen from a very early age. So I've been cooking my whole life, and it's been I've been very fortunate. You know, I would have to say I'm the lucky cook. You know, you can say that there's, you know, tons of cooks that do well and a lot of chefs that do extremely well, and I'm one of those guys who was lucky. You know, and, you know, having a lot of restaurants in Puerto Rico, like about 12 different restaurants over the years, and, you know, completely scratch kitchen, you know, from the, you know, complete concept creation. And you call me a restaurateur, but I have to say I'm a chef first. You know, I have a saying that says, you know, a chef works his whole life, you know, so he can have a restaurant. He has a restaurant so he can own a bar. And the truth of the matter is, you know, the truth is I am a chef first. And but having lived that really hard chef life, you know, I ended up being diagnosed with stage 4 renal cell carcinoma, which is cancer. And that was heartbreaking for me because, you know, you live your life. You love your life. You know, being a kitchen guy, you know, you love your staff. You love the whole restaurant experience, your guests, the coming up with great dishes like your chef there does. And it's just a magical profession. And being told I was pretty much not going to survive because I had a pretty advanced case of cancer and it metastasized to different parts of my body. You know, I was a goner and it was very sad. I'm a lover of life. Let's be realistic, you know, and who isn't, right? I mean, when you're told that, you know, you, so it's a It's a reality check. And I really had to stop cooking. I was actually doing some consulting at this point, you know, in my career. I wasn't opening restaurants, and I was just doing the consulting. And basically had to stop and had to slow everything way down and come to grips with the reality of slowly but surely kicking the bucket. And, you know, I did that for a long time. I got to the point where I couldn't even walk, you know. So, you know, like you said, God played a huge role in my life and decided that I would get another break. And I started getting some great treatment there in Orlando at Advent Health, which, again, extraordinarily talented doctors who put me on some immunotherapy, which is kind of a revolutionary therapy, you know, and it worked. And right now I'm not cancer free, but I'm cancer less, you know, and I'm thinking I'm a survivor at this point. And I think it goes hand in hand with being a chef, you know, and, you know, because as a chef, you go through hard times sometimes, you know, I've opened and closed restaurants. I've seen it all, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly in the restaurant business. And the cancer certainly added a little more ugly to it. But the beauty of it all is, you know, the day I stepped back into the kitchen, I opened two restaurants in Oviedo for a group. And it was actually the first time I stepped back into the kitchen after my real strong, heavy-duty illness when I started coming back. And I said, I can do this again. And I remember that moment when I started cooking again. And it literally, my eyes welled up with tears. And, you know, I'm not an emotional guy, you know. I'm kind of old-schoolish that way. But I felt this incredible, like, just this feeling of gratitude and how wonderful it is to be back in the kitchen. And I knew that I was back, you know, and I opened those two restaurants and they're doing well. And I feel like, you know, I'm ready to do it all again, you know, and I've had multiple restaurants, you know, where I was the chef of restaurants and I had like maybe five at once and was operating all of them and had tons of sous chefs and cooks and really worked at motivating them to be excellent, to be amazing. And they've gone on to great things. I'm happy to say, very proud to say, running some of the best kitchens in America, opening their own restaurants, opening their own food trucks, whatever the case, but fulfilling their desire to be the chef. And so I just feel like right now I'm back, you know, I'm back in the kitchen. I'm back to creating menus. I'm just back, you know, and that's a huge place to be all of a sudden from like being a year ago, you know, kind of like getting ready to say goodbye to the world and thinking I'll never be in the kitchen. And then kitchen to me was my world. It was my absolute everything. I love the kitchen. I remember the first day I went in the kitchen, I said, this is magic. So it was tough, but I'm back and I feel great, you know?
Yeah. Chef, let me ask you a question. Like when you stepped out and you had to take that break, what was that to your psyche? And then to add to that question, what did it feel like coming back in to your psyche? Did you feel whole again? Like, did you feel human again?
Well, yeah, no, definitely, man. I tell you, there's, you know, certainly when you are out of the kitchen and you really can't go back, you know, you're thinking this is it. You know, you lose being the chef because I'm Roberto Trevino all my life. You know, I'm Bobby Trevino and that's what it is. But there's a point where you become just the chef and you are the chef to your staff and your guests call you chef and everyone calls you chef. And I was so sad that I was no longer the chef, you know. It was such a big, empty feeling that honestly, I you know, cancer and death were on the forefront on just everything for me at that point. And not being the chef was the biggest heartbreak, you know, and this other biggest heartbreak was like leaving my dogs behind because I love them to death. So, but in my family, I mean, that goes without saying. But definitely, I felt like that was it, you know, to not be the chef anymore was to not be me. And that was huge. And that was heartbreaking. And to be able to come back, to be able to be in the kitchen and be fast. Cause I'm a good cook, man. I'm 53 years old. actually, I'm 54. Sorry.
He's got me by
a year. And I missed a year. All right. But I'm fast. I'm still a good cook. And I've always, you know, I opened a lot of restaurants, but I never wanted to be that restaurant owner. I wanted to be the chef. And people would say like, oh, well, you know, you're the owner. What are you doing working so much? And it's like, because I'm the chef and the chef works. And that's what drives me. I mean, I opened restaurants to be the and became the owner so I could continue to spend my, all the time I bloody wanted in the kitchen, you know. So coming back to being the chef, having the opportunity to open restaurants again, and I got a few in online right now here. I'm actually in Roswell, Georgia, which is just about 30 or 40 minutes out of Atlanta to the north. It's a spectacular food forward community. So I'm going to open a restaurant here in Woodstock, which is another 20 minutes maybe to the north of here, which again is a beautiful community. It's right on Main Street, America, all the way. You know, I love that. But I'm going to open a really, see, do I want to say family style or a higher end, but something very chef driven Mexican restaurant, because I believe Woodstock in particular may need it, you know. And Mexican food has become such a huge player in the American food scene. You know, I think it's become, you know, what is in our youth, what was hamburgers, hot dogs, and apple pie. Remember the old commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think now it's tacos, chimichangas, and birria, you know. So,
Roberto, you know, it's funny that you brought Mexican food up, because you turned me on to a place called Azteca that you were close with over there in Lake Nona. And they opened up a location here in on the Lakeland side, you know, closer to Tampa. So we go there constantly, and it's one of the best Mexican restaurants around.
Where is that? Because I've seen that. Is that like
right?
Azteca de Oro.
When I go,
yeah, oh, okay. Azteca de Oro. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Man, yeah, I mean, Mexican all day, excuse me, Mexican all day long. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I think love it. The three cuisines that are out there that are probably the most popular is Italian, Chinese, and Mexican. It goes like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I've had chefs cooking, mm-hmm. Roberto's cooking, and he can throw down.
Well,
like,
duh.
He's serious. Like, it's not a, like, no,
people he was an Iron Chef.
Listen to me. People always say, oh, he can, this guy or that girl, the gal, whatever, they can cook. But this cat is serious. Okay. And I know that I'm always very pro positive on things or people, but I only talk about things or people that I believe in. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't bring up the negative stuff because I don't talk about it because it's not worth anybody's time. You know, we're not that group and this isn't that kind of show. So we do focus on the positive stuff. And I will tell you that this guy is a dynamo. And I'm
excited. Thank you.
No, it's the truth. It's the truth. I'm not giving you the stroke here.
He's not blowing smoke.
Yeah, this is the truth. You know, I'm thrilled that, you know, I saw you when you were kind of when you were down, and then we just had breakfast a week or so ago together, and you look great. So I'm thrilled that you're on this, this comeback. And I'm really happy to hear how you talk too, because the way that you speak, you know, you're in a whole different place. Like you saw your end, and when you see that, it changes you, right? So and for me as a outsider, seeing your progression and your before to now, it's pretty amazing. So, I mean, really, God bless you. And whatever you're doing, I hope you're wildly successful.
You know, Chef, I have to ask this question too. My mom had stage 4 lymphoma. She was pretty much written off as well. She fought it, beat it. And
beautiful. God bless.
Yeah. And one of the things I said to my mom, I'm like, listen, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. But one of the benefits, and most people don't realize this, to having cancer, I guess this is more a statement, more maybe you can tell me how you feel about it, is that cancer gives us the time to say what we need to say to that loved one. You know, you're not driving down the highway and God forbid you're taken out right then and there, and you don't have that time. You don't have the time. Yeah. And as chefs, this is, I guess, one of the reasons why I asked that question to you about coming back. Do you feel like when you took that time to heal your body, your mind, your soul, and get better. Did you watch the wind? Did you watch things grow? How did you look at things? And how did you perceive life now coming out of being the quote unquote survivor that you are?
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Well, I mean, you know, perception of life is, you know, I think once again, I have a definitely a bigger outlook on what not to do as a reckless chef, you know, which I was for many years. As successful as I think I was, you know, I was incredibly reckless and would pound alcohol and, you know, the rest. There's coming out of it, I feel like I'm a lot more focused. I feel like success is really much more attainable. It's not something like you'll get to by chance. You know, as a young chef, you know, will you get noticed? Will your food be enough? Will the restaurant be successful? I think now, being a survivor of cancer, being a survivor and having life, I think my outlook is a far more realistic approach to the business, to food, to my cooks, to the whole package. And I think that it's going to be an interesting and a big plus in my future endeavors as a chef. You know, I know that it worked while I was opening these restaurants in Oviedo. I had a completely different approach to my cooks, and I was always very tough. I'll be honest, you know, I've had a reputation for being an asshole sometimes, you know, and that's just not going to happen anymore. And I think that's hugely right and the way it should be. You know, I think that it should be a pleasant and happy place to work. And you should be able to truly not only push your cooks to be excellent, but really inspire them to live life and to enjoy the moment.
Will this change your way you're cooking, though, as well? I mean, the way you're going to approach cooking?
Well, I don't know. I always like to be a bit of a maverick when it comes to food. I like to push the envelope. And I think, you know, I think that's just kind of in me naturally. So will I be less of that? I don't think so. I think I'm going to push it and go forward and try to be the best chef, you know, and certainly give my guest, you know, the ultimate dining experience. And I think that those are the things that drive a chef, whether or not you know, whatever the case, you're a young maverick or you're an old seasoned chef. I think the drive is always the same. You know, you just want to wow your guest and wow your cooks, and you want to wow yourself. You know, I mean, I'm listening to your sandwiches and you're describing them, and there's a wow to it all, you know, and I love that.
Thank you.
That's real. That's what drives us.
Yeah.
And I think I will continue to nurture that angle, you know, in my life as a chef. So, but definitely the approach in business will be a little more cautious. I think the approach to the future is going to be a little more sound. And I think that's a plus, you know. So whether or not it's age or the cancer that did that, I'm not sure, but I'm with it. I'm down. I'm doing a big project in Miami, you know, doing a hotel with 3 dining establishments in the hotel. Doing the restaurant here in Atlanta, I mean, in Roswell, Woodstock, and going back to Puerto Rico, where, I mean, I did many restaurants to open something very, very cool in Old San Juan, and doing a big beer garden at a big Ferris wheel, one of those big eyes are building in San Juan now. So yeah, man, I feel like anything's possible. And I thank God every day, because it's that simple. Life is a gift. And, you know, you have to recognize that for you to truly excel in this gift that we've been given on this planet in this short time, because life is short. Regardless if you live 100 years, it's nothing when you think about the span of history, you know?
0% time. It's nothing.
We are only dust in the sands of time.
Vapor.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I don't mean to sound so like wannabe profound or anything. It's just an important message. And I think if, you know, I know you have a huge audience. I know you're doing well with Walk and Talk, but I think if we do have young listeners and young chefs listening, you know, absolutely love the moment. Live it to the max and be all the chef you could possibly be because life is beautiful.
Yeah. Amen.
And, you know,
I have a friend of mine who was an addict and cooking actually saved his life. And do you feel the same way as that cooking has saved your life coming back out of cancer and getting back on the horse per se?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd say it has a huge drive for me to want to survive and to share life more, definitely. But I would say it also had a huge part of my negative side of my life as well. So, I mean, that's why you have to be sure of every step you take in the kitchen, you know? Like you said, your friend was an addict. I would have to say I was somewhat of an addict, you know, for many years.
Yeah, but the cooking
led to my...
Cooking isn't what... you know, turns people to, you know, substance of abuse and
no, it's our wiring. We've already talked about it.
It's the wiring. It's being
around, the pirates,
being around others who share the same wiring.
Yeah, definitely pirates.
Right? Well, I mean, listen, chef even said it, we're working God awful hours. Our families are, you know, everybody in our family is doing something different. We've talked about this. We're trying to find the work-life balance. Yeah. How do you find it? And then, you know, chef, you know, now that you're going to be opening this restaurant, doing all these different things, how are you going to find that balance if you're going from, you know, Georgia to Miami to, or, you know, Florida, wherever you're going to be, San Juan? How do you find the work-life balance?
You know, I would have to say, and, you know, all chefs will probably say, like, sheesh, dude, really? The kitchen is the life, you know, and to say like, you know, oh, you know, my family, you know, my kids, my wife, you know, which I don't have, it's probably easier for me because I don't have that kind of life. I really have to hand it to guys, chefs that have children and wives, you know, and they're living that family life. I go like, wow, how do you do it? But
most of them don't.
I ask my question the same way, too.
It's rough, man. It's rough. And I've seen it. I've seen it so many times. You know, I've seen chefs kind of have to put the being the chef on the back burner to be the better father and to be the better husband, you know, and it's acceptable and it's wonderful. Go for it, you know, live that. But at the same time, you know, I think in my particular case, being the chef is my life. And for me to go through all these different places, it's just going to let that legend of being the chef in my mind, by the way, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm a legend. I'm a legend in my own mind. allows it to truly be fulfilled, you know, to be that chef. So that one day when the end is in, you know, my presence, I will be able to say like, I did it. You know, I did it. I truly did it. I was the chef. I was the chef's chef.
Is that how you're going about your way now? Are you looking at it being like, how can I leave my legacy now since the fight, the battle's still kind of raging, but it's kind of over on the, you're seeing that light?
Well, definitely. I tell you what, a lot of my cooks have heard that I was sick and they've been reaching out. And I've heard, you know, they've gone on to work with Daniel Blood and they've worked with Wolfgang Puck and they're working, you know, in their own restaurants, like I said, and they're just doing wonderful things. And they all thank me. I say to myself, is the legacy there? Is the legacy already? Is it a continuation of that legacy? You know? And that's, I think, ultimately, how many cooks can you truly inspire to take the torch forward, to truly live the life, to take your name, you know, and say when they're interviewed by Food and Wine Magazine for being one of the best new chefs, and they say, I started in Chef Trevino's kitchen, you know, and people in New York and different places say, oh yeah, I remember that guy. That's a beautiful thing. And it's not like, you know, some people would say like, well, they did better than me. On the contrary, they're doing exactly what you wanted them to do way back when. So will I continue to search out those diamonds in the rough? Definitely. Will I continue to inspire young cooks? to go on to greatness without a doubt. I think in the end, that's what has always driven me and has always made me most happy, is to see that and to see the talent, you know, to see the talent, to find the talented young cooks and say, you know, you got what it takes. You're a natural, you know, be that sort of like scout, you know, finding the best players. That's what I like. And I will continue to do that.
Well, I'm on the hook here. You know, I'm a follower. Now.
He looks like he's got a food coma.
I do have a food
coma. Sorry, Jeff. Well,
I would too.
I'm in a good place.
And once again, man, I love every time I'm on Indeed and I see the pictures of the sandwiches, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what do I got to do to get over there and get one of those? I mean, they look delicious.
Thank you. You know,
I'm really in a good spot.
I just took a picture of this.
I feel good. You know, I'm listening to, well, you got to understand, you have, from my perspective, right? You're as I mentioned in the intro, you've had adversity and you're coming through it, and you know, you're finding some success now too. Like, you're getting your, after you know, going through this terrible period, you're coming out of it like an animal. It's a real feel good story. Like, yeah. I love the story. I mean, I'm thrilled that you physically and mentally are coming out of this. Obviously, the story is amazing. I just had amazing food. So I'm sitting here listening to you speak about this amazing story after I just gorged myself on just stupidly good food. I'm chilling. Yum. Yeah, I would just wish I had a bourbon right now.
Well, you know, I mean,
we know somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing is, it's not funny. We should actually have, when his schedule permits, we should have him come down and do a craveable, farmer's craveable dinner.
Oh, hell yeah. Explain that to Chef.
So, Chef, what we're doing, basically, we are mental health advocates. We're farmer advocates as well. And we came up with the idea of what better way to shine the spotlight on local farms here in, we're talking independent farms in Florida, is to put together the Farmer's Craveable Dinner. And what we're doing is we're going out to the farmers and asking them, what do they have too much of? What is a bumper crop, or what can't they get rid of? And that's where we're first starting development of the menus. Then what we're doing is
that's awesome.
Thank you. We're actually then going to a farm, Cahaba Club in specific, January 13th. We're actually doing our first one. And what we're doing is we're showcasing right now, I think it's like six or seven different farms. We have 9 courses, and it has everything included. So tip, you know, the tax and drinks, the food, $133 for the one ticket. The $200 one is the VIP, which is they get like some swag, they get a bag, they get a whole bunch of different stuff inside it as well. They get to go home with. But we want to, here's the thing, what I thought coming out of COVID, and that was one of the questions I want to ask you. One of the things I realized out of COVID in this industry is that we lost the service part of it, but we lost, more importantly, the experience and making memories. And I think that's one of the things we really need as chefs that we can have, is to develop those memories again. And what better way to do it by helping farmers and having them showcase their product and their love, their passion, and the passion we have. And then here's the other thing, the flip side. We introduce chefs that might not know that right down the street, 13 minutes or 25 minutes or an hour, there's that farmer who's growing that crop or raising those chickens or raising that beef. And that's where we want to go with it.
I love that. That's cool.
Definitely, we'd love to have you. Good Lord, that'd be incredible to have you to come when your schedule permits. And it's got to be cool outside.
For that, for sure.
So, like, yeah, January 13th.
That would be a lot of fun.
February. We got to do one in February.
Take it easy.
Are you guys going to do them every month?
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Yes, but no. Yes. Listen, I would throw parties. Listen to me, Chef.
Yes, once a month.
Listen to me. Let me explain this. I would throw parties every week, like, if I felt like everyone would come. Like, honestly. I'm not a part. Like, I go to the parties. I have fun at the parties. I can be that center on the couch where everybody is. I can do that. But I'm not going to throw the party. I get anxiety. I sweat.
Oh,
like,
you have no idea.
Yeah, no, like, for real. I don't dig it at all.
No.
But and so, in fact, so a couple of weeks ago, I had this nasty flu. This horrible flu. And I was kind of out of it. And in the worst part of this, the week of the flu, I find out that, hey, by the way, we're going to start doing, you know, farm table dinners. And I'm like, and it's scheduled. And I'm just like, oh my God, I shut off my phone. I didn't look at my phone for days. I didn't want to know.
Here's the thing. He's never lived in our life where we can put on something and do something really quick in a drop of a dime, because that's what we do. And we do it really well.
Right.
He's never really seen it that way.
Wait a minute. It isn't what you can execute. I have every ounce.
It's the people getting there.
Yeah. It's the people spending the dough to get there. You know, that's the part. That's the tricky part, you know?
Yeah. That's the tricky part.
Cause we need, you know, listen, it's good. So we're building a following, right? And the following we have is in a unique space. We don't exactly have a following for putting on dinners, right? Even though you're an awesome chef and your pedigree is pretty fantastic. Like you obviously can put it on, you can do it, but they don't know us for that.
Right.
Right. So, you know, we're trying to like fast track into this lane that the other cars that are on that lane are going 200 miles an hour. And we're kind of pulling in at like 75, you know what I mean? Like it's a bit,
you just mentioned Miami.
100%. Yes. It's the HOV with 95. Yeah. It's terrible.
It's golden exchange.
Correct. So, but that's where I'm coming from here. That's my thought process. Like I know what we can do it. I know we can execute and I know they will be badass. But getting the people in, you know, the guests to usher in, that's another story.
And how many guests are you looking to feed?
I don't know. Doesn't
matter. I mean, we can feed upwards of 80.
Yeah. At the farm. At the one farm. Yeah.
That's yeah. It could be a huge event, or it could just be like the three of us eating a lot of food, you know, which I can handle. I can manage that. I can put it down.
Yeah. But you can eat for four. Right?
I eat for four. So I can do it. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I can do that. I don't mind eating.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
I know you can too.
Well, good food.
Yeah.
Craveable food, I should say.
I mean, I can do it with Doritos. I can do it with craveable food. I can pretty much put down whatever.
Yeah. Well, no, I've actually seen it, witnessed it.
I know.
You know what? I've become sort of a big fan of, believe it or not, Pringles. Those things are awesome.
Pringles are great.
Like, yum.
Yeah.
Eat that whole little tube of them.
You know what's funny? I'm gonna drop a brand. All right, so we all heard of Cheetos, right?
Oh, here he comes. I know which one you're going to.
They're good. So a buddy of ours, a newfound buddy, he's affiliated with a company called Chiwis. Chiwis was the original Cheetos. Cheetos spun off from Chiwis. That was the original brand. So Foodie Patootie, Chef Pooch Rivera out of New Orleans, he's affiliated with this company, with this brand. So he sends me a box of, I don't know, there must have been like Chiwis. 20. Yeah, but it was like 20 bags, all different ones. I ate a lot of them. Oh, no, my kids actually, because it's really good. Like, they're really, really good.
I had them finally when I got to Dallas.
Yeah, sorry. Hey, listen, I brought you the other stuff today.
Yeah, I know. I got the thank you, Steve. Yeah. Or Scott Green for the dots and
the sauce.
Dots ketchup sauce. And the sauce.
Yeah, I brought it.
And so Chiwis is from Louisiana?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's a Louisiana company.
Yeah, we had a jalapeno one that was pretty fire.
Jalapeno that's my favorite.
What was the other one we had?
I had them all. So.
No, but we did it. Remember, we did it in Dallas. We did the soft shell crawfish. I think it was the original. Yeah, I did a whole mixture of the different ones. They were fantastic.
So you guys actually made a dish with it?
Yeah, I kind of pulverized the product into like a almost like a flour, if you want to call it, like almost like a corn flour, cornmeal. And I just dredged a soft shell crawfish and sauteed them.
Very
Wow. I don't know if you've ever had soft shell crawfish, chef, but let me just tell you.
Yeah.
Game changer. Game changer.
I never had them before.
Absolutely.
Roberto, I've not had them before. And I literally, I don't know, I must have had a pound of those things by myself. No, you didn't.
We had 7 pounds.
Yeah, and I cleared a tray.
I know you did.
Yeah.
I was cooking them.
I know. And then once we put that Dats sauce on there, the ketchup.
Yeah, that was
it's like a ketchup hot sauce combo. Well,
and then Ephraim made that.
And it's called Dats sauce?
D-A-T-S.
Yeah, that's a different brand. That's a whole nother sauce, but it's.
That's also a Louisiana thing, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
They're sounding like Louisiana talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone thinks it's because the Dat from, you know, who Dat? It's actually the guy's initials, if I'm not mistaken. The story was. I don't remember the name either.
Yeah.
Taylor was the last name, I think it was, when Scott Green was telling us the story.
Right.
And basically what it was like almost like a sweet Mai Ploy chili. And they try to replicate this family member's recipe, but they didn't have it because obviously that person passed away and they're trying to replicate it. And the guy was like, finally, you know what? We're done. This is how we're going to put it out. Let me tell you something. It's like, you might as well just sell it on the Miami street corner as crack, because that's what it is. It was fantastic.
Well, I tell you another thing, man, you think about another Louisiana great, Avery Island, man, Tabasco.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, talk about killer. I mean, and you know what I love about Tabasco is if you let it sit, it seems to get hotter. It's just like it must evaporate or something. It just gets so hot. When it's dark brown, it's been sitting around forever. That's when Tabasco's real good. You know?
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, the spicier the better.
And it's hot.
Chef, you like, right? what's your heat preference? What, like a scale of 1 to 10, what's your heat preference?
No, I go 10 all the way. I don't mind hot at all. I do really? Habaneros. I make my own habanero hot sauce, and it's just like real hot. I love it.
On a bet, I did this thing. I ate a habanero, and
it's rough.
It was rough. I knew what I was getting into. It's not like I was done with it. But I have to tell you, it was 10 minutes of just like agony. It was 10 minutes of sheer agony. But as soon as that 10 minutes ended, I had the like the most clarity in my vision, euphoria, like just,
yeah, euphoria for sure.
I felt amazing for yeah,
the endorphins that chilies release are amazing.
It was. And I said to myself, I remember it vividly. I said, I got to do this once a week. You know, obviously not doing that. I never did it. I didn't touch it.
Kind of like an ice bath.
Yeah. Yeah. Those people are crazy.
You got to read up on Butt Pucker Farms. This guy named Ed Curry. This guy is the one that invented the Carolina Reaper.
Butt Pucker?
Buck Pucker. Yeah. Butt Pucker Farms.
Because even John heard.
He was shaking his head
over there.
Here's the thing. So he originally went to medical school and then got kicked out because he was doing a little bit of the, you know, the 420.
Yeah.
And he was hypothesizing that cancer and the way to get rid of it. He looked around the world to see who had the lowest cancer rates, and it was everyone around the equator. So he hypothesized that was capcaicin. So he developed the peppers to be cancer fighters. Hmm. And then lo and behold, his largest at the time, customer was the DOD, the Department of Defense. He's developed a pepper that's 5 million Scoville units.
Wow.
So the Carolina Reaper, to put in perspective, pepper spray from the police is 2.1 million Scoville units. His Carolina Reaper is 2.2 million Scoville units. Naturally occurring is the scorpion pepper from Trinidad, which is 1.5, I think. And I think the ghost pepper is 1.2 million. So what he did is he crossbred, not genetically, like he did it through bees and high pollination.
Yeah.
Cayenne pepper with Carolina Reaper. And that's how he did it. So it's, you got to read it. He's up in North Carolina.
Roberto, you're going to try that pepper?
I did.
I'll try that pepper. I don't mind. I can do heat. I don't mind it one bit.
Will you do it?
I love the challenge with the hot pepper.
Hold on. Chef, will you do it on the show? Yes. We do it on the show with Cameron.
Yeah, I'll do it on the show for sure. Right, but I got to have a big piece of sweetbread, Mexican sweetbread.
I'll have milk for you too.
I'll get whatever you want for your side on this.
You better have some ice cream and ice and all that other stuff too.
Man, I've seen people go through some horrible situations eating those peppers and these pepper challenges. You know, that I don't know.
Chef, I got to be honest. I worked for a broadliner and they introduced a ghost pepper cheese and they had dehydrated ghost peppers. And this idiot was like, oh, let me go ahead because I eat Scotch bonnets. I'm married to a Jamaican, so we eat Scotch bonnets like it's like candy.
Very nice.
So I'm like, yeah. I popped this thing in my mouth. It took a little bite and literally in mid-sentence, couldn't talk for 5 minutes. I was, and that's a miracle.
I think you should take a bite of something of that now.
Yeah, it's deadly. I mean, it's...
Yeah, well, you can't mess with peppers like that, you know? I mean, there are people who claim to be able to eat a lot of hot peppers, but sometimes, I mean, there are peppers out there that can put the hurt on you, you know?
Yeah,
Nelson.
I did my habanero. I'm good with that. You know what I mean?
You're not going to do the one chip challenge?
No. Nope. I'm good. I've done it. I did what I had to do there and had my experience. And that is, as they say, that. All right. Chef, how do people find you? What's your preferred social media?
Instagram, Chef Roberto Trevino. LinkedIn's always good. I found that LinkedIn has become my more adult beverage.
LinkedIn is bad. I love LinkedIn, man. That's the place to be.
It's really good. Yeah, it's really good. You connect with some great people, you know, especially in the industry. So LinkedIn is great. But yeah, Chef Roberto Trevino
Instagram. Hold on, wait, Chef,
and
what
Chef
is it?
Trevino on Twitter. I know X is not the thing anymore, but it's still good. I'm there. Find me, you know?
I'll be there. I'll put your socials in the description on the podcast.
Very nice. I'm also a Liverpool fan. You'll never walk alone. Just putting it out there.
Heard that.
Yeah, I'm a trotter. I'm the Spurs.
Heard that.
Really?
Yep.
Well then.
All right, that's gonna be a topic for another day.
Thank God it's not Man City.
We're coming up on the end. Chef, right. Sincerely,
thank you.
My friend, I'm thank you for coming on the show and sharing your story. A lot more to come, my man. Thanks for coming on. John, you're awesome. Jefferson, I mean, you know, you're okay too. All right,
thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, Chef.
All
the best.
Are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.